Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Hi, friend.
You sure you don't want to start it with me screaming?
Yeah, I don't think that's like people are tuning in, they're excited to hear, and someone yells in their ear. I don't think it's the best way to begin the program.
Okay, well, shit, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, give them some warm, dulcet tones, low volume.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Yeah, that's what's
It's not even evening, it's the morning. Hello.
Well, in your room, I wish the audience could see. It's Donald records with all his curtains closed in his sort of man cave.
Yes, hold on.
And it looks like it's midnight, but it's actually 10 a.m.
That's true. Earlier than we usually record.
What are we doing up so early, guys?
I have to go somewhere, so we are doing this early. Thank you for accommodating me. We don't have Joelle today. Daniel, will you be able to fulfill all of Joelle's duties?
I will do my best.
Will you be as charming and funny and witty as she is?
You know what? I truly cannot make that promise. She is that is a mountain I do not know if I'll be able to ascend. But again, I'll do my best.
Will you laugh at our dumb jokes like Joelle does?
Of course.
All right, good.
Speaking of dumb jokes, yes. Could AI ever go after like directing gigs?
I don't see how yet. Why?
But what if AI could? What if AI could, like, it was like Evie from Small Wonder, Donald, and it was like racist.
What's your motivation?
Donald, could you do that scene again? This time, blacker.
So in this situation, for those of you who don't know, Small Wonder was a sitcom about a robot child. And you're saying if the small robot child became an AI filmmaker and was racist. Okay, I'm following you. I may be the only person on Earth that's following you, but I got it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Donald, that was great. And then somebody like talks to her. Like, yo, you can't just be like Donald Blacker. You got to be like a little bit more creative with how you say that.
And then
shit
she's like,
him.
Shut up, bitch. I'm the director of this project.
Donald, this time, Moore Street.
I do hope that that sitcom comes back because it was so bad, it was good. I remember even as a child watching that sitcom.
What if that's what AI is like? AI is like, dude. I just want to see myself as a human.
Small Wonder.
Let's bring back Small Wonder.
Right.
When AI takes over the world, AI is like, I always wanted to be human.
A child, I remember Small Wonder thinking it was trash. Like, this is really some low budget, stupid shit. Right? She had special powers and shit.
It wasn't trash. Yeah. They made a robot into a little girl that never got old.
I know. I'm just saying. I remember even as a child thinking the writing was
horrible.
Not
yeah, I know what you mean. Mm, just yeah. like horrible, just like a horrible show.
How are you?
I'm well. Tired.
Why are you tired?
You know, I take my kid. So my kid plays basketball.
Yeah, we know that. The fans know that too. He's very good, you said.
Well, he's you know, he's starting to run in the competition now and stuff. And
oh, it's getting harder.
Yeah, and the workouts that we take him to are all over Los Angeles. Some are in Inglewood, some are in Thousand Oaks, some are, you know.
So you're like a dadager.
I'm not necessarily a dadager, but like, you know how there's soccer moms and basketball moms. I'm a basketball dad right now, nice. For sure.
Are you
and
being,
I'm a soccer dad for a
while. Do you give him coaching like Serena and Venus Williams' father did? Do you give him coaching on your own?
I wish he would take coaching from me. He doesn't take any type of coaching from me. He, you know, It's frustrating to watch your kid respond to other adults, like, you know, coaches and people who obviously know more about basketball than I do. Mm. Watch him respond to them. And then when we're in the backyard playing around, he's like, "Dad, I didn't bring you out here for this. I just want to come out here and shoot hoops with you, man. That's all I want to do. I didn't bring you out here to freaking run drills with you. I just want to shoot hoops and 1v1 you. That's all I want to do. Let's talk basketball." You know what I mean? And it's
so. Do you respect that? Because he's like saying, like, "Look, I'm getting it enough from other people. Will you just be my dad and shoot with me?"
Yeah, of course I respect it. But sometimes it's like, dude, you got to get better, man. These workouts that you're doing aren't enough to get you there. Obviously,
you're kind
Let's
of
work
like
on some stuff.
Basically, what you're saying is you want fame. Well, fame costs.
And right, right here is where you start paying
in sweat.
Pain and sweat.
Do you have a little broom that you, what is it, a stick that you?
A staff. I don't have a staff.
You have a staff? You should get a staff. That's what I'm going to get you for Hanukkah.
Thank you.
A dadger staff.
A dadger staff. You got big dreams. You want fame. Well, fame costs. Mm. And right here is where you start paying
in sweat. Yeah, I did that for Debbie Allen in person.
That's so crazy.
She didn't think I was going to go into the whole thing, but I did.
She called me Leroy in a scene once. I think I told you this.
Yeah, before. You told us that. Well, the strike continues. No sign of any improvement, and now only questions if the DGA and SAG are going to strike as well, which would definitely shut down everything because people can claim to be shooting things that were written before the writer's strike, but you certainly can't make things without actors or directors.
Are the DGA, is the DGA going to strike?
No one knows. I ask around and people have, everyone's guessing. It's just speculation. No one knows.
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, they were like, "I don't think it's going to happen." I was like, "It's definitely going to happen." Yeah. But in all honesty, I have no clue.
Nobody has any clue. Everyone's just guessing. No one knows.
I will say that whole HBO Max thing definitely was like a bit of a knife twist.
Yeah, that was.
You guys
bad.
See that?
It was that, what happened.
So dumb. They changed how the credits look on HBO Max. So like when you scroll to, you know, an episode of something, instead of director, writer, producer, etc., they lump everybody together under creators. It's just there's no separation of who did what. It's just creators and then everybody, which is like.
Yeah, so like Coppola would be like fourth in on The Godfather. It was really weird.
As a creator.
And what's so bizarre is that they then apologized and claimed that it was, quote, something like, I shouldn't say quote because I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like it was a data error in transferring things to our new app, which is so clearly not true because it had been reformatted.
It's just covering up a bad decision that they made that they thought would be like, "Oh, well, you know, now people are creators and, you know, it's a new title." It's like,
I know, but it was so insulting to people.
Totally.
And also the actors were lumped in. It was like it was also like actors. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be like, you know, all the actors in the movie. So like, you know, Brando could be like fifth in on The Godfather.
Right.
Bizarre.
Mm. Yeah. So what does this mean for?
They changed it. In the midst of a negotiation with the Directors Guild, they did something super insulting to directors. But they've backtracked and said they're going to change it. That whole Max thing is so funny. The whole idea of the HBO, one of the most beloved brands in Hollywood, is gone. It's just a really bizarre thing, huh?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Times, they are a-changing.
That leads us into the episode where Sarah's character, Elliot, wants to sing Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot.
Swing Low, Swing Low.
What did I say? Chariot.
You said Sweet Low.
Oh, sorry. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Donald, you're not in this episode, which I can't love a Scrubs.
That's right. You know what? Matter of fact, let's just 5, 6, 7.
Here's some stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
You know what? I'm not in this episode. You're right.
And I can't.
And I lost interest once I realized I wasn't in this episode. I was like, this is not the best episode.
Well, I didn't really love this episode either, if I'm being fully honest. And I didn't realize till I got towards the end, I was like, oh, one of the things that's missing is Donald. Yeah. That's one of the, you're one of the funniest parts of the show. And if you're not in the show, it's only going to be a mediocre one.
I tell you where
I'm not just saying that because I love you.
Well, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is.
This one just felt like there were some good story moments. I like the Cox storyline, Cox having to turn into Kelso, even though he says he's never going to be like him. Him seeing the struggles of what it's like to be chief of medicine, and JD becoming the Dr. Cox to Cox's relationship with Kelso. I thought that was good, but I just kind of was like poetry.
It has to rhyme.
I was kind of like just shaking my head the whole time. Like, what?
Well, you want to start from the beginning?
Yes. What a sales tool we've done for a rewatch podcast. But we promise to still make it funny, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is the podcast Fake Doctors, Real Friends. We should say like an airplane. If you're listening to, intended to listen to the different podcasts, get off now. You are listening to Fake Doctors, Real Friends, or stay with us for the first time.
This episode was directed by Will McKenzie, written by Dave Tennant.
Will McKenzie, one of our favorite directors, who directed the musical episode, and just a wonderful guy. We've spoken about our love for him before.
Which we will be reviewing on June 10th
in Seattle. Seattle. If you happen to be in Seattle, join us at the Moore Theater on June 10th, where we are going to do a live rewatch. Well, we won't live rewatch. We will a live discussion.
We're not going to rewatch it.
I don't think we're allowed to watch it live. Bill was looking into it for us if we're allowed to show it beforehand. There's all sorts of legal issues with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you should watch it if you're coming on June 10th anyway. Rewatch it again, obviously, so it's fresh in your head, right? That would be the best way to enjoy our rewatch live show.
I agree.
June 10th at the Moore Theater in Seattle. Come join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, okay, 807, I wrote 807-no-Turk. Turkless.
This is the Turkless episode. And it opens with Katie walking down the hallway and running into JD and Elliot kissing. This was the fake out right here because I thought I was going to be in the episode because Katie comes in delivering, you know, Turk and JD are using Katie as a messenger.
Yeah, as a page.
Yeah. Throughout the hospital. So at this moment, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely in this episode.
No.
You know, I didn't question whether or not I was going to like this episode.
Yeah, you thought they were going to cut to Katie going to you, but no.
At some point.
It was a fake out.
But her interrupting JD and Elliot's kissing is so C-3PO. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
3PO is always interrupting tender moments.
Oh, was he a C-blocker?
He was the ultimate C block. His name is C-3PO, cock blocking.
Did you listen to that thing I sent you of the, sorry, this is a total non sequitur, but of the AI making Sinatra sing that song?
Sing from the window to the wall.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Daniel?
Sweat drips down my balls.
Oh my God. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
All you skeet, skeet, skeet. God damn.
Donald, did you laugh?
Yeah, man.
Let me see if I can play it.
From the window to the wall, till the sweat drip all right, down my
hold on.
Balls.
Let me wait, don't let listen. So this is a YouTuber named quote. There, I ruined it. Let's give him a shout out.
Oh, I love this guy.
AI to imagine Sinatra covering "Get Low" by Lil Jon. Let me see if I can pull it up here. If I do this right.
Oh my gosh!
Here we go, guys.
To the window, to the wall. Till the sweat drops down my ball. Till all you bitches crawl. Oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn.
Skeet, skeet, goddamn.
I have to say, that is fucking funny.
So funny. That is funny.
From the window to the wall. Till the sweat drips down my balls.
Skeet, what's skeet skeet?
All you hoes.
What does skeet skeet mean?
That's come, dude. Skeet skeeting. Skeet. Skeet skeet.
I don't know. That's I don't know that skeet is a term.
That's the sound of the jizz coming
why
out of your
why does jizz
penis
make a skeet
hole?
Noise? Skeet, I never. Mine doesn't do that.
It doesn't. Hold on.
There's something wrong with my ejaculation that it doesn't make a skeet noise?
What does your, when you skeet?
It's silent. Maybe I have a silencer on by accident.
So you go.
I don't know. Maybe I was born with a silencer on my skeet. When you ejaculate, you hear the noise skeet?
No.
No.
Oh, skeet good.
But I try. When I was younger, to describe it, I'd be like, and then I was like.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not skeet. What am I missing? What am I
missing?
It's
kind of like skeet.
It's more like I skeeted.
Okay, it's a verb.
It's like skeet, 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 skeet.
They skeet.
Okay, thank you for conjugating it down.
No, you know what? You do have a sound.
Okay, let's move on from the top conversation of skeeting. But how funny is that song?
That is really funny.
It's amazing.
From the window to the wall.
It was amazing when they played the original version on the radio. Chris Rock has a whole... bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is his bit in short? Don't do the
that
bit.
They
just
were allowing people to say skeet skeet on the radio.
On the radio stations, from the window to
the wall till the sweat drips down my balls till all these bitches crawl all skeet skeet. All this is on the radio.
Poetry. It's poetry.
Until somebody was like, yo, you can't be letting them say.
I didn't know. Listen, if I was the DJ, I wouldn't know.
Skeet, skeet.
If I was the DJ in this situation, I wouldn't know. So I'd be like, here we go. It's the new song with my favorite new lyric, Skeet Skeet. Here is Lil Jon with Skeet Skeet, Window to the Wall. Skeet Skeet. That would be my talk up.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, I don't know if this is right or not, but I want to hear Sinatra sing more really inappropriate songs now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ain't saying she's a broke bitch, but she ain't. I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't fucking with no broke.
That would be funny, right? I mean, that's a funny use of AI. You can see her on any given Sunday.
Then drive off in a Hyundai. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hey, listeners, how is your social battery right now?
It can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Everyone has a different capacity for socializing and different ways of recharging. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
All right, so I guess Elliot and JD are dating again, and they're making out in the ICU. Katie brings a message.
We got to get something correct.
Go ahead.
Kissing is not hitting that. If somebody's kissing, you are not hitting that. So
I think he's talking about. Oh, does he say he's hitting it?
He says, "Don't interrupt me when I'm hitting that."
I see. Yes, and he says
hitting that means banging.
Okay. Mm. Okay, well, we're all learning something today, Donald. I learned about Skeet. Some of the audience are learning that hitting that is banging.
Mm. I think most of the audience knows when they say I hit that, what they meant.
Yes. Okay, you're probably right. Although my mom listens sometimes. She might not know about Skeet or hitting that.
Sorry, Anne. Now you do. Yeah.
The more you know.
Every once in a while, my mom's like, I've been listening to the podcast. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, this shit is so dirty sometimes. But she never That's says funny. Anything. She's never like, why did you boys talk so dirty?
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
Yeah, it's like Deb does. All right, so, all right. Cox and Kelso are buddies now. They're hanging out at Kelso's house.
Yeah, which, I mean, they tried to set it up in the last episode. It jumped really fast. They are fast friends, too.
Fast friends. Like, really quickly.
With the way the episode ended and everything, part of me, you know, I wonder if it was like that when Cox first came to the hospital, where he was Kelso's JD. Probably wasn't like that. But there are other stories. But there are stories like that throughout. You know, there was another JD before JD, you know.
That would have been a funny flashback, especially if they'd had this de-aging technology to show like young Cox coming and Kelso's the mean Cox to him. That would have been a funny flashback.
Yeah. So I wonder, because they're such fast friends all of a sudden, it's like, you know how it is when you get with an old friend, it fits like a glove.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we learned that Cox saw Kelso's ass at one of Nurse Roberts' above-ground pool parties.
Yes.
And he's still recovering.
Yes. It's been a while since we've talked about Nurse Roberts' above-ground pool party.
I know, but think about what must go down at these parties, dude. I mean, one can infer now that Kelso was naked at the party.
Yes.
Kelso, everyone's boss, is naked at the above-ground pool party.
I think there was like a waiver that was sent out when Nurse Roberts decided
like you had to sign it to get in the party?
After the first one, she was like, we going to have to do a waiver or something, child. Because the first one was crazy and we had fun and everything, but this shit can't come back to the hospital.
Like, what is happening at this party? Like, we never see it. We only hear glimpses about it, but like there's clearly drugs involved.
Hell yeah.
There's like people just like Hell it's like yeah. Fight Club. Like you don't talk about it. Like you just it's like so top secret the shit that goes down at this party.
It's not top secret, but to
the audience,
we only get glimpses. That's the problem. Yeah, we only get like little flashes of yo. I want to go to this one time.
I know. One and time. In fact, if we ever do a reboot, we really have to go in to show like one of these parties. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how now, like if we were on streaming, we could be a little more like R-rated.
Risque.
We have to like cut to like a Euphoria style scene of like the shit going down at Nurse Roberts' party.
There is nothing. That is an ultimate reboot. The Euphoria.
I just mean like, can you imagine if the reboot was on streaming, And like, I mean, not obviously Euphoria level, but I mean, wouldn't it be fun to be a little more risque and R with it?
Oh, I would love that. I would love if we had the opportunity.
I don't know if I wonder if the fans would, obviously, you know, there's, you know, I guess kids who love the show couldn't necessarily watch. I mean, depending on the parents' choice, but Scrubs' whole point at the time was to be extra racy. You know, it was before streaming, and Bill was like trying to push what you could do on network TV, as we all know. It was on at 9:30, so he got away with a lot, especially before ABC.
I was about to say, once we got to ABC, he didn't get away with
much. He got clamped down on him because it's Disney. But I'm saying that, like, you know, we still watch this shit with the sex scenes and stuff with me and Elliot and stuff. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this was on NBC back in the early aughts. But anyway, my point is, I wonder if we ever do a reboot, if it's on streaming, if we could be a little more risque and that would be fun. That would be something that would be fun and different about it. You know?
I think that would, well, yeah. I mean, I think because it would be really weird to stay with the old format, you know? It would be weird.
But we can't all just be in a hospital. I mean, for starters, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, but even if it does all stay in the hospital, I don't think we could stay with the same format as far as how risque we are. I think we would, because of what Bill how he started,
right?
You know, not unfortunately, but thankfully, ABC picked up the show and it became a different show.
Right,
but the way he started, we were definitely trying to push what towards that. So why not continue on that path?
I guess that's a more articulate way of saying what I was trying to say. Thank you. Why? It seems like if you're going to do a reboot, go back to your roots of trying to be the edgiest thing you could do. Not that you have to be egregious with it, but, like, you know, push the envelope again. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we're running around saying skeet, skeet. But we could be. Just kidding.
Yeah. So Elliot said something really fucked up, and JD says that hurt me so much I lost my breath a little.
Yeah, she implies he's not good in bed, but she's just teasing him, I think, right? We know that they must have good sex, or she wouldn't keep coming back for more.
Right. Well, I don't know. Shit. Listen, this is one
but maybe
thing
JD's not into all that role playing that what's his name was into. Keith was into some twisted shit. I don't think JD's into all those games.
Yeah, I think JD would get caught up in his head.
Remember when they each were masturbating in separate cardboard boxes?
Yes, it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite sexcapades between the two of them.
Yeah, well, JD's not doing that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
He's not getting
either.
In a box and pleasuring himself with this woman in a different box.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's doing that. And has she calmed down? Like, and what all of a sudden calmed her down? What all of a sudden made her say, you know what? Because Elliot's kinky as fuck.
But is she kinky as fuck just with Keith, or because she doesn't seem
like she's kinky. Her dreams are kinky with, like, the apples and all of it. Like, she has crazy, crazy sex dreams.
Right.
People with no face chasing after her.
You bring up a good point, Donald, and that is that all of that stuff doesn't seem to be something she does with JD. She seems to have done that with other people like Keith.
Yeah, man.
JD and her, I think, have just good but standard fucking.
You think they, like, she gets on top, he's on top.
Yeah, I think, well, we know that they get, you know, we think of the pizza episode, you know, they're passionate, but I don't think they're getting in boxes and dressing up like apple thieves.
First of all, that pizza episode was very disturbing to me the more I think about it.
Why?
Because there's no way you can eat all that pizza and still want to have sex. Like, after three slices, you're like, I don't know if my stomach can take the shaking.
So full.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, there was hours in between. I think they allowed for digestion.
So we're going to eat this pizza.
Yeah.
Let it digest.
Yeah.
Then we're going to fuck.
Then they probably each go and, like, sneak a poop in the other bathroom so, like, no one knows about it. Hey, I'm going to go check my phone.
Okay. I'm going to go check mine, too.
I'll be back in, like, 16 minutes. And then they have sex again, and then they eat more pizza.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If you poo.
Yeah.
Let's change the whole dynamic. if you poo, are you gonna jump in bed with somebody right after you poo?
I don't think so. No, I'm probably gonna cuddle and watch a TV show for a while.
Yeah.
Let the poo.
Let everything settle back down.
Let it get back. Let it back up a little bit. Let it.
Yeah. Let everything just settle down. Right. Get out of I just poop mode.
Yeah.
This is where Joelle Down would be like, oh Lord. God. Oh Lord.
Oh God. There's no.
Daniel,
there's
you no need to be the Joelle in this situation. I don't know what the show is like without.
I happen to agree with you both. That's exactly what
without,
I would do.
Without the feminine Joelle energy, the show is off kilter.
it's just too much me agreeing with the takes.
Three
it's
dicks like, in a Zoom.
That's the new show is called Three Dicks in a Zoom. We need Joelle to be putting her head in her hands or there's no guardrails.
No.
We just have Daniel sitting here nodding about
it. Yeah, like, right about that. I do need to wait at least a half an hour after shit before I fuck again.
Three dicks in a Zoom. Our new show, Zach and Donald are Three Dicks in a Zoom.
Zach, Donald, and Danald are Three Dicks in a Zoom. Eat these balls, Zach.
Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to talk more about a show that Donald's not in.
Fuck your sound effects machine. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The season of summer concerts is upon us. When you want to secure the best seat in the house, you know you can't wait until the last minute. You have to be on it. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead.
If you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it.
Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/realfriends.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And we're back.
And we're back.
I'm going to Vegas today.
What are you going to Vegas for?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. Brian Klugman, our buddy and the guy who is the Don Draper of all the T-Mobile ads, is friends with David Copperfield.
Oh.
And I love magic. And Klugman loves magic. And he's not only taking us to see Copperfield's show at the MGM, But after, I hope I'm allowed to say this, Copperfield is giving us a tour of his private magic museum.
Wow. Ooh.
You know, there aren't a lot of your friends that I approve of, but one that I do approve of is Brian Klugman.
I thought you said Copperfield. Yeah, I love Klugman.
You know, you have some friends where I'm like, you hanging out with who? Nah, I'm good.
Yeah. But Klugman's the best.
Klugman, if you're ever hanging out with Klugman, because you know, look, you know me. You know how introverted I can be. You know how I don't like to go out and hang out. And I have a small group of friends that I only hang out with. You know
your
how
main,
I am.
Your main friend is God's lettuce.
Mm. It's one of my... It's one of my closest and dearest friends, actually. Until it kills me. But anyway, but...
You love Klugman. I do, too.
I do love me some Klugman, man.
Anyway, so I'm so excited because... I'm really excited because I genuinely love magic. I always loved magic as a kid. I love whenever I see great magic, but I've never seen a Vegas magic show. And, you know, I know David just as an acquaintance because as Scrubs fans and listeners know, he did a cameo on the show and he was so sweet and cool. And so it's just really exciting that not only do I get to see the show, but then tour his private magic museum. Do you know that he is like the wealthiest solo performer on earth?
What?
I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like him and Siegfried and Roy that were like when, I mean, Vegas has always been great for acts and people would always have, you know, shows in Vegas and stuff like that. But that I remember as a kid seeing commercials for Siegfried and Roy and for
Copperfield. I think Copperfield has been doing the show for like 8 shows a week for so many years. And
he must really love magic, man.
I think it's safe to say the man loves magic. Yes, Donald.
No, but you know, for some people it becomes a job, you know?
Like, well, I just can't wait to see it. I think it's going to be so fun. And then I'm also going to play some blackjack. I was watching a documentary last night about blackjack to try and prepare.
Are you going to put a lot of money down?
Not a lot, but I watched this show on Netflix that had this documentary about these guys who count cards.
Oh, buddy. And
no, I'm not. I didn't learn to count cards last night. It's so complicated. But dude, these guys, or I'm sure there's gals too, but they focused on guys. They've cracked counting cards so much that all the casinos, the second they walk in, know them and spot them and kick them out.
And why did they get kicked out? Why are they not allowed to gamble?
They're not allowed to beat the system. A casino.
That's fucked up, man. If you learn how to beat the system, you should be able to beat the system.
A casino is allowed. I learned this from the documentary. They're allowed to kick out anyone they want. Obviously, except for, you know, race, gender, the obvious things. But like they are allowed to remove any player for any reason they want. Mm-hmm. And the second they have all that, they know. They obviously can tell from the cameras and the pit bosses when someone is counting cards, so you don't last long. They kick you out. So this dude is wearing all these disguises. Hmm. He's doing all this slow playing. He's like trying to play craps for a minute to not look like he's trying to just like blend in, right? He's literally traveling around an RV with like all these disguises. It's amazing.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not count cards though once you learn how to count cards?
That's but the thing is, the second he's too blatant about it, they get him right away. He's like literally wearing like a wig and a camo baseball hat. And so what he does is he tries
How are you blatant about counting cards though?
Because it's the way you're switching your betting so quickly. If you just do it without worry about getting caught, the pattern is pretty obvious to a pit boss or the people watching the cameras. He has to like disguise it, camouflage it, if you will. What he's doing. Oh my dude, he does this other shit. Like this is like a 6 or 7 deck shoot. And not only is he counting cards, but if there's like 3 aces come up, like just by, he can spot where they are and watch the dealer reshuffle and have a solid estimate about when they're going to come back because the odds are that they weren't shuffled apart from each other. I mean, that's how mega this guy is.
It's crazy.
Anyway, he's crushing. He was crushing them.
Does he have to play like at the table by himself? Or can he?
Yeah, he's playing it. He tries to not get caught. Sometimes he plays at night, like the graveyard shift.
Mm.
Ooh, then there was another thing. He said that this was another thing these guys do. sometimes a bad dealer will not know that they're showing you their face down card as they deal. And so when they know they've got a dealer like that, they'll like track her and like find out when her shift is, when her break is done, and they'll go to her tables because, and then he came back from one of those. He's like, this dealer is showing me her face down card almost every time.
Wow. Yeah. There's so
dude,
much to it.
This dude was up $600,000 playing blackjack.
At that moment, I'm like, yo, you're fucking counting, dude. You have $600,000, dude. The odds of this happening are like one in a billion. There's no way.
It just makes you realize.
You started with 20 and now you have 600.
It just makes you realize when you're just playing blackjack and not counting cards, how fucked you are and how the house is always going to win.
Always.
Every time.
Yeah. Because once you see, once you see,
play like the house and still lose.
Yeah, you play. That's what you and I do. Donald's the one who taught me. I think you and Bill are the ones who taught me. Just like play by, if you play by these set rules, these are your best odds. But then you watch a documentary about dudes counting cards. And you're like, oh, I don't really have any odds at all. The house is always going to win. I'm not. I need to learn fucking this. These people spend like years though learning how to do this. Mm-hmm. They know exactly, what their odds are at all times versus what the dealer has. It's really incredible. But you can't do it anymore. They were saying like it's so hard now because of facial recognition, all the casinos, whether big or small, no matter where they are,
AI. Here we go again.
Yeah, it's kind of a dying. Actually, the whole point of this doc on Netflix, I'm sure you can find it, I forgot the title, but the whole point was like this counting cards thing is a dead art because of facial recognition and security. These guys can't do this anymore because there's a couple times he couldn't even walk in the door. He walked in, they were like, nope. And he's got like this big disguise on. They're like, nope. Yeah.
Turn around.
Yep. All right, back to the show. There's a cake. And Cox thinks that JD organized it for his celebrating him becoming the chief of medicine. But in fact, we learned that it's for Colonel Doctor's 2 years sober.
And Colonel Doctor gives the sign.
Yeah, he's talking to Deontay. He's talking to Deontay, and he gives a little as if to say,
Speaking of Deontay, me and him have reconnected.
You have.
Oh,
good.
Deontay. You know, once he got out of the business and went corporate and stuff like that, he's taken a couple of stop motion animation classes.
Really?
And he and I talk stop motion every now and then. And he's just recently gotten into 3D printing. And you know how 3D printing and stop motion kind of are intertwined. Like if you get a good 3D printer, you can create faces and all of these wonderful things. So I think Deontay and I are going to go on a little stop motion independent movie making adventure.
That would be awesome.
We can do.
That would be awesome. I imagine it'd be fun for you to collaborate with someone that you like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we spend a lot of time together.
All right. This rhythm sequence starts to happen in the ICU, which just sort of seamlessly happens. It reminded me of episode 2. Are you having a good time? You remember that?
Was that episode 2?
I believe it was episode 2 when we're in the ICU and all of a sudden this rhythm starts happening.
This was way different. This was more like Stomp. This reminded me of Stomp.
This was Stomp-esque. And the only real instrument involved is, first of all, Deontay's playing the water cooler bottle and all the other sounds are happening. And the only real instrument is the janitor playing bongos on the floor.
That shit had me laughing so hard when he shows up playing the bongos, but now when he was really playing that shit, it looked like he was really playing that shit.
Going in.
Yeah.
Like he was going hard. I laughed so hard at that. Like, one, I laughed at where the fuck did he get the bongos from?
Yeah. And JD says, why are you playing bongos? And he says, it's Monday. Monday's bongo day.
Yeah.
You know, later when you're in his office in the closet, you see his calendar. His office is set up in a what do you call it? A fucking janitorial closet, and you see his calendar, and every Monday, the only thing on the calendar is that Monday is written Bongo Day.
Very, but like decoratively too, like
calligraphy
circles around it.
But wait, didn't he used to have? He used to have a big office, right? Remember when he was. With Mari,
no, he stole that office. Didn't he steal that office?
No. Do you remember when with the brain trust and he,
yeah,
and,
they stole the office.
No.
They stole Kelso's office. Then sealed the door.
Yeah, that was one section. But wasn't in the time of when Marty was on? Wasn't there a different office they all hung out in? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Fans who know remember. I feel like the janitor has had offices before that weren't a closet.
This is why I say that we got really wholesome this year on Scrubs when we moved to ABC. We introduced Mr. Vaughn, and it's set up like he's gonna die.
Right.
He don't die.
Yet.
That's the second time you said that. This is another character. Two different characters.
Oh.
Denise's character, Denise's patient, he didn't die.
Right. Well, I don't know. If you're saying that we don't, less people die on ABC, is that your hypothesis?
No, because then you watch Grey's Anatomy and everybody has these freaking really dramatic deaths and they're like, that stretch out for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, 3 episodes, 4 episodes.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to track that. Daniel, make a little note for us to track if less people die in season 8.
I don't think.
Yeah, we're going to get there. We'll get to the bottom of that.
All right. So Ted finally is allowed to sit. He was never allowed to sit, even after he had thigh reconstructive surgery, he tells us. Kelso never let him sit. And Cox is set up in his new office and lets Ted sit on the couch.
And then Ted picks his toes, takes advantage of it.
Yeah, and then we cut and Ted's like half-dressed and picking his toenails. And Cox is like, too comfortable. Stop that. And then
did you notice who are the three people that are on the never, ever, 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 ever list?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's Jordan and JD.
Yeah.
And then Hooch.
Yeah. Hooch. Hooch, Jordan, and JD are on the never, ever, 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 ever allowed in list.
Mm-hmm. Cox learned that Hooch is crazy, obviously.
Yes, Cox is obviously familiar with Hooch being crazy. I don't know that we ever see in real life Cox's interactions with Hooch, but we know that how he feels about Hooch. Interestingly, I believe Scrubs Wiki pointed out that on his sometimes list is, hold on, Leonard, the security guard, and Dr. Rodenage, which is one of the janitor's aliases, implying that if you think about it, you can infer that Cox doesn't know that Dr. Rodenage is the janitor.
Yes. So funny. Rodenage, of course, janitor backwards.
Yes, thank you for reminding the audience of that. Daniel. JD, okay, so he has Mr. Vaughn that you mentioned who has pneumonia. And Cox has all this paperwork. You know, his whole thing was like, I'm not going to be like Kelso. I'm not going to be stuck in this office. And yet he is stuck in the office.
You want to talk about JD taking Mr. Vaughn home and letting him live with him?
Yes.
Did you laugh at that?
Yes. JD has a fantasy where he takes Mr. Vaughn home and they quickly act like an old married couple who are yelling at each other. Right?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Well, look who look who is playing the same song.
Yeah, I really got into that, didn't I? I was like screaming at him.
Yeah.
And he cries.
And then he cried. He get the close up of the one tear coming out.
Yeah. So Carla is, we learn that Carla booed Elliot off of the karaoke stage because she was singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
Right.
Yes. You know what that reminded me of?
What?
Blazing Saddles. When y'all was slaying, you used to sing like, the Camp Town Lady. And they're like, the Camp Town Lady, or Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Y'all never heard that one? Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. That shit is one of the best scenes in Mel Brooks' history, having all these white boys running around going, the Camp Town Lady, sing that song, do-da. That shit had me rolling.
I don't remember. It's been a very long time since I saw Blazing Saddles.
Hmm. What?
I'm sorry. It's true. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. Oh, by the way, do you remember The Frisco Kid?
Harrison Ford, Gene Wilder.
Yes. If you haven't seen that movie, The Frisco Kid, it's a great, great movie. All right, so Elliot thinks it's because she can't sing the low notes, and Carla's like, sure, that's why you shouldn't sing that song. And in the tag at the very end of the show, we see Elliot singing the song, and an African-American doctor played by Richard Wells, who was not only our first assistant director for many episodes of the show, but also directed a few Scrubs episodes. He comes over and looks at her like, why the fuck are you singing that song?
But he had to come back to do that because he wasn't working on the show at the time anymore.
He wasn't? He had left?
Didn't he? Oh, no, he retired on Cougar Town. That's when he retired.
Mm, yeah. I know that he was acting as a unit production manager at this point, but he was still around. I love that guy. Love that. Great. So many great memories with that guy. One of the best in the business. Mm-hmm. Mickhead is screaming. So then we talk about how there's a whole thing about how the nurses don't feel respected. They need more staff. They think Carla is in cahoots with the doctors because she's married to a doctor, because she's friends with all the doctors. So the nurses are mad at Carla. And we see the nurses being disrespected in a couple just quick cuts. Mickhead is screaming at one nurse really disrespectfully. And then he breaks and goes, okay, honey, see you at home. We learned that that's
so. Just so we're clear.
Yeah.
Mickhead beat two charges.
Murder raps, yeah.
For killing his wife.
Yeah, and he's got a new girlfriend. He's yelling at her.
That he's yelling at. He said, let me tell you what the MD stands for. Makes the decision, okay? You got that? I'm gonna see you at home, honey. Fine.
Yeah, that woman, that young nurse shouldn't be with Mickhead. I don't think someone should.
I mean, get the dude's gonna kill you. He's probably gonna kill you.
Why are so many women into Mickhead? It must be something great about Mickhead at home because he keeps, even after he beat a couple murder charges, he's still finding new love.
Well, love is finding him.
Yes.
And sticking around, even maybe, after the warnings.
Maybe he's really
good. You know,
all
the nurses in the hospital are like, girl, don't you know this motherfucker beat two murder raps? What is you doing? She's like, I don't give a shit. I love him. You don't know what he says to me when we at home.
And then Todd says something so rude to or sexist or whatever to a nurse, and he goes, disrespecting nurses five.
No.
So that's our clip of doctors not treating nurses with respect. And right. The nurses are pissed at Carla for not they feel she's not advocating for them.
Yeah, they think because she's friends with a doctor – best friends with the doctor and married to a doctor, that she is a turncoat.
A turncoat, exactly. So Cox can't leave his office. Everyone wants to get in. Everyone wants a favor. We've seen this happen with Kelso before, but Cox is experiencing it for the first time. Carla wants more nurses. The janitor is trying to annoy him. And the janitor, we learn, has a thing he does with this photograph of the building where he's always... He pesters anyone who gets an office with trying to hang this picture or painting. I think it's a photograph that nobody wants. And he really tries to annoy Cox by constantly hammering and just, I don't know. I don't really understand what was happening.
Well, he's doing it because he didn't get an office. And that's why he's in the closet. And ever since he asked for an office, Kelso's hip to it. Kelso had figured it out. But anytime someone gets an office that's bigger than the closet that he's in.
Right.
He automatically bothers them by trying to hang a photo and tries to make their life a living hell with the photo.
Now, if you watch how he's trying to hang this frame, he's got like four nails in the wall, none of which you can tell are the right nail for this. So he's just being an annoying. And at one point he hangs it on fishing line in the middle of the room and he starts swinging it. And he has a whole bit about how look out, it's coming towards you.
Yeah.
He's like, it's got Lenny. I don't even know what the hell he was talking about.
It's a different episode. It wasn't your favorite, eh?
I mean, I giggled a few times, but I do think, I'm not just saying this because I love you. I don't think the show's as funny without you.
Aw.
I'm not gonna lie, I did watch it. And I did take notes.
Imagine Webster without Emmanuel Lewis. That's how I felt.
With just Mr. and Ma'am?
Yeah. An episode of Webster without Emmanuel Lewis is not an episode of Webster.
No. It's an episode of Mr. and Ma'am.
Here's a bit of trivia for you. How did Webster, what furniture object disguised Webster's secret passageway to his room?
Ooh.
The food? Was it the, what was it? I don't remember.
It was in the living room, and it was what Webster used to get in and out of his secret passageway.
Oh, the clock.
Yeah, it was a grandfather clock.
That's right, the clock. That's right, I remember that.
I was worried. I'm so proud of you that you got it.
Thank goodness I remember
Any of
that.
You listeners who got it, good
it
for
It led
you.
To his bedroom.
I think it led to his bedroom, or at least the upstairs hallway. It was definitely, it made me as a kid go, oh man, one day I want to have a secret passageway behind a clock.
I do
to
want
this day,
passageway.
I still don't have a secret passageway. I really would like one.
I would love to be able to pull a book and the fucking thing just
the classic bookcase.
So cool. Yeah,
so cool. Oh,
we can't die and not have had a secret passageway in our lives. I think it has to be a bucket list for both of us.
Houdini had the best one, man. He had like that whole property in Laurel Canyon. He had underground passageways and stuff like that so he could do his magic tricks throughout his house at his parties and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
Is that true? I know that's lore, but that sounds incredible if it's true.
I'm choosing to believe it.
From what I understand, that whole intersection used to be his stuff,
yeah, I've heard all these rumors that there's tunnels underneath the ground to other houses and all sorts of stuff. It's all, I don't know if it's rumor or not.
I mean, if you wore the magic muff, the number one magic, I bet you go to Copperfield. When you go to Copperfield's house, he's got a bunch of freaking secret passages.
I don't think I'm going to his house. I'm going to his museum. But
I bet you his museum has a bunch of secret passages.
Oh, I hope so.
I will be
able to tell you tonight. I will text you. You'll be asleep because it'll be after.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If he does have this stuff.
Yeah.
How do you think he can afford, like, I mean, I understand he's rich and stuff like that, but to re-infrastruct a whole, you know what I mean? To change the infrastructure of a whole city system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much money do you think it would cost to do so? Like Bruce Wayne, that's where it gets like a little crazy, right? Like Bruce Wayne does all of this crazy. The motherfucker has a tunnel that led from his office, a skeet chute that leads from his office all the way to the Batcave.
Well, I think you're supposed to imagine that he just has infinite money. And I think that really, I think, I haven't Googled it, but I'm told that Copperfield, Daniel, you Google it for us. I think he's, as I understand it, he is one of the wealthiest single performers in history.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So if he does have this shit, if anyone's going to have it, it's going to be him.
I know he owns an island. which is your first badass move as a zillionaire. You got to have that island, right?
Damn. If you buy an island, where?
You got to have an island. If you got that kind of money, you got to have an island. Did you see that Bezos? So Bezos built this $500 million sailboat, right? Hmm. And it's enormous. It's like the biggest private sailboat and, it's a $500 million
sailboat?
Boat. Yeah, he put sails on it. I mean, it's a sailboat. It looks like, anyway, the point
is.
It
looks like a pirate ship.
No, it just looks like a giant sailboat. But here's the thing. The boat needs a support yacht. There's so many people needed to run it, and there's so many and so much other needs to support the $500 million boat that it has a $75 million yacht that follows it to support the services needed.
What?
To make – yeah. You can
That's
Google
amazing.
That.
That's amazing.
So this is, look, if you got, if I'm asking all of our listeners too, if you were given a crap ton of money.
Right.
And they were like, you can't spend it on world peace and you can't spend it on saving the world.
It has to be spent on something stupid. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. What would you spend? I would spend it on like a doomsday.
A doomsday vault. Bunker. Like a James Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Evil. Like Dr.
Something
Evil.
Something that when it, other than the earth blowing to bits, I'm going to survive that shit.
I love the idea. I don't know. There's something, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I definitely I'd probably go with a Copperfield Island. And I'd call it Copperfield Island.
Copperfield Island would be sick.
All right, Daniel, did you find out the answer?
I'm kind of getting mixed messages on exactly the answer, but I did find some very interesting information. Here's a question. How many shows do you think David Copperfield does per year?
I heard he does like I know he does two a day, I think. So let's call that 14 a week. What's 14 times 52? Daniel, you're smart.
I'm better at doing 2 times 365. So that would be a little over like 730, basically. It's not quite that many, but he does 515 shows a year.
Yeah, he's rich. Is,
yeah.
And, yeah.
That's how you, and if for, you could fill up, and, if you could fill up for, a theater that many so, yeah, times.
It's sold out every night. It's sold out every night.
If you could fill up a theater that many times, yeah, you're doing something.
It's sold out every night.
Yes. He is individually worth $1 billion. He gets $60 million a year from the performances alone. And then everything else is like merchandise or stuff with his name on it or like...
licensing.
Residuals. Yeah, licensing and residuals and stuff like that.
You got to really love magic to do that many shows a year, man.
Yes, continuously. It's his passion. It's like you saying like, you know, you... It's
like he must be trying to raise the dead or something, like... For real. Like, he must be trying to do that Tesla situation in the Prestige. Like, straight up, man.
Do you remember
like,
when we were kids and he made the Statue of Liberty disappear?
What?
Yeah, I do remember that. Was that him that did that?
What's that?
Was that him that did that?
Yeah, there was a television special in primetime, I believe. And it was David Copperfield makes the Statue of Liberty disappear in front of a live audience.
Wow,
that like, exactly.
That was like a big moment in our childhood.
Now, if you live in New York, I don't remember how to, didn't they cover the Statue of Liberty or some shit? I don't remember what it was. I don't remember.
I think I remember finding out how he did it, but I'm not going to blow anyone's secrets on a podcast.
I also remember when they put that freaking balloon of King Kong on the Empire State Building too.
I don't remember that. What was that for?
Just to, I don't know what the purpose of it was, but they put a balloon of King Kong on the Empire State Building. And that shit was up there for like at least a year, I feel like. I just remember being like, damn, that shit is still up there.
Do you know that the lights and colors of the Empire State Building are different every night? And you can look up on a website that tells you why they're that color each night.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know that the lights had significance.
Yeah, they're always honoring. Sometimes it would be something like to honor, you know, some union that is celebrating, you know, it's sometimes something you wouldn't necessarily know. Obviously, like it's going to be green on St. Patrick's Day, but like sometimes it's like, you know, in honor of something you would never know, but you can always look it
up. That's actually pretty romantic if you could pay for.
I'd do that for you. But all I have to do is I have to look up what the colors are going to be tonight. Like, oh, they're going to be blue and yellow. Like, hey, Donald, because I know that you love blue and yellow, I paid to have.
Right, because Casey's favorite color is yellow and your favorite color is blue.
You just have to find, find a reason. Hey, buddy, tonight they're going to be turquoise and brown, and I know you love turquoise and brown. I don't love turquoise and brown. Oh, I wasted all this money. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we will finish up an episode of Scrubs that Donald is not in.
Fuck your sound effects machine. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let me tell you guys, my family loves our Helix sleep mattress. Ever since we've got it, we've had some of our best sleep yet.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Not only is the mattress the best I've slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
Helix is offering 20% off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, Better sleep starts now.
Tecovas are one of my favorite boot brands. They're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. So they've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots. But they've made some innovations in comfort, style, and service.
These boots are Austin-designed, Texas-tested, and handmade down in the bootmaking capital of the world, León, Mexico.
Whenever I slip on my Tecovas boots, I feel the cowboy magic, Donald. They're tough enough for getting dirty, but classic and stylish enough for a night out on the town.
If you ever wonder if you can pull off cowboy boots, you should pull on a pair of Tecovas. You'll see. They'll become your new favorite footwear. Cowboys knew what they were doing when they invented Western wear. If you can't make it into a store, Tecovas delivers the most premium quality and most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And point your toes west.
As a special opportunity for our listeners, Tecovas has said they will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps for free into any minimum purchase of $100 on Tecovas.com. Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS. It's about a $30 value, and they sell fast, so there are always new styles and looks. Again, for a limited time, just enter code REALFRIENDS at checkout to add a free logo hat to your order as a one-time gift from Tecovas, only at Tecovas.com.
Wu-Tang forever. And we're back!
Zach, I love you.
Calm down, girl. Please.
I laughed my ass off when Ted walked in and saw Kelso.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then he passes out.
Yeah.
And sleeps for 8 hours.
He had like 18 hours.
18 hours, yeah.
Yeah, Kelso said whenever he gets this upset after I startle him, he'll usually sleep for 18 hours.
And they pet him, and he's like a little puppy on the couch. And great this sound. Is the moment that you realize, oh, Kelso did have a little bit of care for in his heart for Ted.
No, barely. I mean, he treated him like a dog. Earlier we skipped it, but he bends over when Cox is about to start signing contracts or whatever paperwork, and he goes, "What the hell are you doing, Ted?" He's like, "Oh, Kelso liked to sign his paperwork on my back." And he goes, "It's not that bad. I imagine it's what a hug feels like."
I'm not hugging you, Ted.
I'm not hugging you, Ted.
Oh, man.
Kelso, there's this long walk and talk with Kelso and JD where, you know, Kelso basically says to JD, "Look, okay, I'm going to give you the keys to the castle here. I'm going to give you the behind the scenes information you need." Right. And that is that you have to keep pushing Cox. Whenever Cox wouldn't relent on me, even though I knew, had to fake like I was pissed at him. I knew that he was passionately advocating for patience, and I knew when he wouldn't give up that I would ultimately relent. And if you want to do that, you have to be that guy for Cox. So you really see everyone sort of changing roles now as JD becomes the Cox, as Cox became the Kelso.
It also shows you how, you know, in order to maintain some form of humanity, Kelso really needed Cox too. And this is something that was never talked about on the show. You know, he said no to so many people, and you know, he became such a great chief of medicine for the hospital, not necessarily for the patients, but if Cox hadn't always pushed him to advocate for the patients, Kelso might have lost himself in the hospital and never made it out.
Mm.
And it's this, and he's giving JD that same conversation. Listen, he's going down a dark path, and it's very much like Star Wars, and he did it for the greater good. Vader did it for the greater good to save the woman he loved. But at the end of the day, you know, it will consume him, and it'll make him into the person that Kelso became.
Yeah.
And in order for there to be a light at the end of the tunnel, there has to be somebody who is consistently in his face telling him, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and the patients are what makes this hospital, not the hospital.
And right. It could be said, Donald, that he's showing him, he's being the light side of the Force to the dark side of the Force.
He's come full Anakin. He went to the dark side. He's come back to the light side, and he's warning the new apprentice.
Yes. By the way, Kelso became a much better man the second he quit.
What? Yeah. All of that, dude, just think about all of the pressure, yeah. All of the freaking, all
and
of
having
that
to
stuff.
Be the bad guy, having to be the bad guy for everybody.
To everyone. And I want and I bet you at one point he hated it like the way Cox hates it, but then eventually he loved it. He learned to love it. It's like an acquired taste, like coffee. Remember your first time tasting coffee and being like, "I will never drink that shit again," and then all of a sudden you just kept drinking it.
Although we should mention that he does put on a doctor's coat so he can score free morning after pills from the pharmacy.
I didn't say he was a saint. I just said
we're just saying that he's turned a corner, and we forgot to mention that he throws on a lab coat so he can score free morning after pills from the pharmacy.
What is he doing with those morning after pills?
Well, we know that he likes working
gals.
He's
not giving it to Enid.
No, he likes working gals. That's very clear.
He does like the working gals.
I guess he's also not using protection with the working gals.
I mean...
I think it's safe to imply that if he's needing so many doses of the morning
after pill.
We don't know.
Skeet, 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 and all over the place.
It all comes back to skeeting, Donald. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Lastly, Elliot clears it up with Nurse Barb, who's the nurse who's a kickboxer who was threatening to beat her up in the parking lot.
Because of the way she spoke to her.
Yeah, she apologizes and says that she's going to be more respectful of the nurses.
And, but she also tells him, look, you got to use Carla as she's the bridge, man. And I get it, you know, that you feel like we are disrespectful to you guys, and I will try my best to change and everything like that. But if you really have issues and stuff like that and things that you want to get done, you have to use Carla because she's got your back, and she's the only one that's connected to all of us.
Yeah, she's the liaison. And so then just, and then
show
JD,
my girl, some respect.
JD finally passionately fights for Mr. Vaughn and gets what he wants, just as Kelso said he would from Cox. And that's the show, and that's the episode of Scrubs. Everybody, bring Donald Faison back to the program.
Amen.
That's my chant. That's my chant.
Y'all need to be out in the
streets. You know what I've been thinking about for the longest?
Donald. What?
Me dying and AI fucking being in Star Wars. My AI being in Star Wars.
Now, you said on the last episode.
All week. Which is now 2 weeks because we record these about a week before they come out.
No, we don't. We record them on a Thursday and they come out on a Tuesday.
Mmm.
It's almost a week.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for me on blackjack? I hit on 20, right?
Always bet on black. No, on blackjack, yeah.
Hit on 16?
Yeah, you have to hit on a 16.
Always assume that the dealer's...
Unless they're showing like a 3, 4, 5, or 6, then you stay.
Okay.
On a now, 16. Assuming that they have...
Yeah, they have a face card or a 10.
Underneath. And so then when they flip over with the 13 and they hit,
right.
And even if they get a 9 on that, that's one too many.
But you have to always assume that their face card, that their card down is a 10, right?
Always assume that, yes.
Okay. And I can always ask them. They will tell you what the book says.
Some people will, some people won't. It depends.
Really?
On who
I never
you
met
get.
A dealer. If you're like, what does the book say? I've never met a dealer that doesn't tell you.
It's really funny to meet dealers.
You've met
like
people
that
are like, nope.
No, they won't say nope, but there's some that have added, oh, the book says you should hit. Oh, God.
Oh, I've only
just
met,
hit.
I don't play that much, but when I feel like they're mostly cool and want to help and are friendly because it's not
that
money.
They just want that money. They want you to drink and
right.
Take
well, they
that
want it. They want you to tip them, so that's why they're more likely to help you. Right.
Remember, those chips are actual money, Zach. Yeah. Just remember that.
Yeah, I'm so inspired by this documentary. I think I might try counting.
get kicked out. I dare you to get kicked out.
A seven.
I dare you to get kicked out of
without,
a casino.
Without any training, I'm going to try and count a seven deck shoot.
Yeah. You can do it.
One.
I was going to say. I'll be sitting at the table.
In my mind, like, okay, I think there's been two queens. These dudes have a whole method by which they keep track of that many decks. It's incredible.
Yeah. What if you count out loud? What if you're like, okay, that was five queens, right, guys?
It's like hiding in plain sight.
Will they kick me out with the whole table? I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep track of queens. You keep track of kings.
Right.
I'll make friends.
Right. How many aces is that, Jim? That's seven aces. Seven aces. So
Susie,
how many we got left?
Susie, why are you leaving? You're in charge of counting Susie, the twos.
No, we're in this together.
She's like, I'm broke. I just lost all my money. You're counting the twos,
Susie. You're counting the twos, Susie.
Get back here. Well, how many, if you're going to leave, how many twos were there? All right. That's our show. June
10th. We got nobody today. There's nobody calling in, and there's nobody.
And no Joelle. We don't have Joelle.
No Joelle. Daniel, you blew it already.
I want to say,
to be fair, this isn't your job, Daniel.
Donald's gonna forget this, but I just want to say, June 10th in Seattle at the Moore
Theater. Yeah, you should tell him about June 10th in Seattle.
Yes, okay, I will. I will right now. June 10th. I think we're almost sold out at the Moore Theater in Seattle. Join us, or forever hold your peace. And I also have an important announcement about a good person. Today is officially the day you can finally rent it for $5.99. It's been a long time coming for the price to come down to $5.99, but those of you who were waiting for that opportunity, it's now officially for rent for $5.99. So please check out A Good Person, directed and written by myself, starring Morgan Freeman and Florence Pugh and Molly Shannon.
We should probably tell them, because we don't talk about this enough. And I don't think we've discussed it at all yet.
Oh my God.
But June 10th.
Yes. Thank you for reminding us, Donald. Thank you for reminding us that June 10th at the Moore Theater in Seattle, the first and possibly only live episode of Fake Doctors, Real Friends. All right. Count us out, my friend.
All right, guys. It was a pleasure. I miss you when we're not here.
I miss you so much it hurts sometimes.
And on that note, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. Hey guys, I've been telling you about how we are big fans of Tecovas boots. Heritage, tradition, quality, comfort, style, and service are some of the best features of Tecovas. But now they also have a gift for our listeners.
Tecovas will throw in one of their best-selling trucker hats or ball caps free with a minimum purchase of $100 at tecovas.com.
Just use code REALFRIENDS at checkout. That's REALFRIENDS.
That's TECOVAS.com, and point your toes west.